and welcome to Stirring the Pot. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes. You're listening to KVSHLP 101.9 in Vashon, Washington. Today, we have another real treat. Mr. Tom Conway is our guest today, and I have a little announcement in that Tom and I met the other day over breakfast, actually. And we were just chatting, and we decided that it might be fun to do a show together once a month. So Tom has agreed.
Although I'm debating that today.
We've had quite a morning, actually. But so Tom has agreed to come once a month on the first Wednesday of every month, and we'll just be chatting about all kinds of things eclectic. And today...
But we'll have a topic.
Oh, we will have a topic. We just don't have
one.
You know,
maybe we could do like Alex Trebek, and I'll take food potpourri for 200, Alex, you know. We could do a show about just food potpourri.
Tom, we could.
Okay.
Today's topic, however...
We have a topic.
...is eggs. And I also have my studio angel is here helping me engineer today, Mr. Chris Austin.
I have been called a lot, but not an angel.
And I think we get a round of applause.
Yay! He's helping.
My claim to fame?
Yeah.
My dad was the first Canadian on Jeopardy.
No way.
Really?
That's right. 1964.
How interesting is that?
From what province?
Ontario.
Oh, okay.
There were no eggs involved, though.
No eggs. No eggs. Well, actually, Chris is the one who told me that we have a very interesting Vashon history with eggs, which I did not know. And
we were
all of this
Egg Island.
Yeah, we were Egg Island. And I didn't know the history. I didn't know how many eggs. Chris, would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, just real briefly. You know, we were such an agricultural economy for so long. But as railroads started to go out to the cheaper lands and refrigerated cars were invented by Birdseye, now you didn't need to grow the crops close to where they're consumed. So what was left with boutique niche industries, and one of them was eggs. And we developed into such a powerhouse. We had like 18 million eggs left the island every year in the 30s.
That's not an exaggeration.
No. 150,000 laying hens were on the island. We had egg laying contests that would last a year. And we just saw on the heritage site that, who was it? He had five chickens. They laid 14,000 eggs
in
a
Gilbert.
Year.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Gilbert.
And the progeny of those hens sold for $2,000 apiece.
Yeah, and apparently there are a lot of really impressive breeders on the island, too, where they laying stock.
We were world known,
renowned. There's a story of somebody came all the way from Brazil.
Wow. To buy chickens?
Buy chickens.
And even today, I'm forgetting the gentleman's name. I did a piece on him a couple of years ago. He's a retired dentist down in Docton.
Oh.
The Apple...
Yeah, Applegate.
Yeah, that's Dr.
God, I'm losing my mind.
He was a wonderful gentleman, and he saved a lot of breeds of chickens, like single-handedly, like these Japanese chickens with crazy head pieces.
Oh, I love those Japanese chickens.
And I said, do you do chicken contests as much? He goes, after 9/11, it's just not as easy to travel with a chicken as it used to be.
Things
slowing down.
Yeah, but I'm not going to travel with chickens. Let me put it that way. But
peacocks are another story.
That is a different story, and I do have one, but it's not for today.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to say that Mr. Gilbert's chickens, his five chickens that he entered in that contest in, 1922? Laid 1,400 eggs in a year.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And so they won. And they broke world records. And as late as 1941, 72,000 eggs per month were exported from Vashon. So,
wow.
Today's story is a little bit different. And we have Miss Karen Biondo's agronomics report from La Biondo Farms.
Yes, which basically, it's like, we don't have enough eggs in the winter.
Well, we don't have enough eggs in the winter, but we sure have lots right now.
We do.
And we talked about this in a different program at one point, but she informed me that average Americans consume 278 eggs per year, per person. And on Vashon, we think it's a little more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially if you're a baker.
Well, yeah, if you're a baker or, you know, if you have kids or at home or anything.
And but, especially, I think, now, too, with, like, paleo diets and keto diets, people tend to eat protein for breakfast as opposed to
right
doughy dumpling things.
I even read a thing earlier this morning, actually, about egg ribbons. Do you know about egg ribbons?
Yes.
You make a real flat omelet.
Uh-huh.
And then you put it on a plate and slice it into thin ribbons. And then you grace whatever dish it is you're cooking with that. It could be rice. It could be a salad.
Yeah.
It could be a dish of green beans.
They have a lot of things that they attempt to make the egg a better thing.
I know.
And I just want to shake them and say, you know what? You just scramble it or you poach it or you fry it.
Now, but, wait a minute. There's other stuff to do
with it. It's kind of too. Like people and how they love clafouti. And every time I hear that word, I just cringe because it's really just an omelet with
cherries. It's an cherries omelet with some cherries in it. Cherries in it. Little almond.
Exactly.
Little almond. But it's so good.
Is it?
It's so good. Don't you like it?
No.
It's my favorite thing.
I think it's like pudding. I think it's the most overrated dessert on the planet.
Well, it's because it's so easy to make.
Yeah, and
it's so easy.
Taste like anything.
It does too. I'm going to have you over and you can have some of mine.
Oh, good. My diabolical plan worked.
So we were looking at some new recipes this week for eggs too.
Uh-huh.
And I brought you a present, Tom.
You did?
I made you some pickled eggs.
Ooh.
And they're bright purple. Isn't that a pretty color?
It is.
Now, they're not going to be ready yet. Some of the recipes say wait a week. I just made them yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So wait a week, put them in your fridge. And some of them say wait 30 days.
Oh, I think
maybe a week.
Week.
Yeah, but they last forever, you know. Mm-hmm. They're sort of like the Chinese 1,000-year-old egg.
Oh.
Which now is really popular as well as a condiment. And what I know about it is it's umami.
Who's your mommy?
No, who's your mommy?
Yeah. I've had them and that's sort of like, sometimes there's like cuisine of deprivation and there's a real big mystique about them. And the 1,000-year-old eggs, I like the idea, but it was for, you know, cause it is for preservation, but.
Well, it is for preservation, but they use them often for shaving. Like we shave a truffle.
Yes.
And so then you get that little umami taste.
Yeah.
I don't think you want to bite into one. I know they make soup out of them too.
Yeah.
But we don't need to try those. So tell me about your favorite egg dishes and what do you like?
Well, you know, it starts out with the most basic. I think like a really good scrambled egg is right up there as an awesome like snack meal or anytime you want to eat it. And when I go out to eat, though, people always overcook them. They think they always overcook scrambled eggs. You can just pretty much guarantee
it. Do you order yours soft?
I pretty much go into this big this big diatribe about runny, sloppy. They don't even really have to be cooked. I just do that because I know if I do that, they'll at least come not overcooked.
They won't come brown.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The restaurants on the island, I have to give them credit, are really good. You know, the ones that have breakfast.
I never order scrambled eggs out because nobody can do them right.
Yeah,
so I learned from Jacques Pepin, our darling, that he likes to, he scrambles the eggs in butter just like we do, and he stirs it the whole time he's scrambling.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the very, very end, when they're just about perfectly loosely scrambled, he dumps in a splash of cream.
Oh.
At the very, very end. And then it makes this most creamy, wonderful scrambled egg. You should try it. It's really good.
I will. That sounds really good. But yeah, that's sort of my easy one. But the one I like, speaking of Jacques Pepin, who like is my, you know, we both have a crush on Jacques
Pepin.
Yeah,
I do.
He's got the French accent. He's really nice.
He has it
all. And the man can cook. What else is there?
And he knew Julia.
He's a, he's a good guy. And he's got a track record like no one else.
Yeah.
But one of his, what I like about Jacques Pepin too, are a lot of the recipes. He's not a snob. And I think so many chefs are snobs. And in that, like, they make you feel like you're inadequate, that you could never make these things. And I was,
yeah, you big dummy, try this.
Exactly. Or that you have to get, like, this is a Himalayan moss that grows on the north side of Kathmandu.
But only under that certain
exactly.
rock.
Exactly. And, yeah. And speaking of peacocks, you just, two drops of peacock tears will make this the best thing. So, but what I like about Jacques Pepin is that his they're very accessible, his recipes, and just about good food and flavor. And the one that I'm particularly fond of is one that his mother, he started really young cooking around 14, and his mother was a really wonderful cook. And they would, you know, meals were they were simple, you know, is what you had on hand, what you do. And he often refers to this one that he calls a recipe called Eggs Jeanette, his mother's name.
Oh.
And it was basically a stuffed egg or a deviled egg, but he said he's never seen anyone prepare it like she did. Would you like to know how she did it?
I would love to know how she did it.
Okay. Well, it's... So what you do is, I'm going to give you the recipe, all right?
Okay. You
so,
ready?
Were you ready? So you have six large eggs or jumbo eggs, and you boil them so they're, you have a good hard-boiled egg, and then you cut them in half like you're going to do a deviled egg, and you take the yolk out, and you mix it with a teaspoon of chopped garlic, 2 tablespoons of chopped parsley, 2 to 3 tablespoons of whole milk to bring it all together, a pinch of salt, some pepper, and 2 tablespoons of olive oil.
Okay.
Or vegetable oil, he said, will work. So then what you do is you make that up. You make these little deviled eggs. Mm-hmm. You stuff the eggs. And then you... I'm sorry. Let's backtrack. The oil is not to be mixed in with it. That's what you fry them in.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
good.
So you leave the oil out of that mixture. And then you put the oil in the frying pan. And you flip them over. And you gently heat them and cook them until the deviled egg part creates mm-hmm. kind of a crust, a little hat, a little helmet on it. And then when those are, browned, you take them out of the pan and into the pan, you put in, and if there's crumblies, which there will be, which makes it part of the thing.
Little crumbles fall off.
Right.
Yeah.
So you'll have that in there and you just leave them in there. And you want about 2 to 3 tablespoons of the leftover egg stuffing. So save that mm-hmm. if you don't have it. And you add 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil and you stir it around with 1 tablespoon of Dijon mustard and 1 tablespoon of water and a dash of salt and pepper. And you create this sort of sauce
mm-hmm.
and then you pour it over the eggs.
And then you eat them warm.
You eat them warm. And he said it's really good with crusty French bread. And he said that was many a school night dinner when his mom was cooking in the restaurant. That the kids would, she would make for
that.
The kids. It was a good thing. But
I'd like to try that.
Yeah.
I think that would be good. Well, I'm an aficionado of soft-boiled eggs. And to me, there's nothing in the world like soft-boiled eggs. I love them.
See, now, a lot of people, I never grew up with those. So they're really, I look at them in I think Monty Python skits. That's where I've seen them.
I did grow up with them. As a matter of fact, here's a little aside. When my mom was visiting me one time, I was in my 50s, and we were having breakfast at the table. And
weeks ago.
Just weeks ago. I was just a child. And we were having breakfast, and I made soft-boiled eggs. And so we sat down, we're eating them, and I guess I made some sounds, and like,
mm-hmm.
And my mom said she remembered the first time she fed me a soft-boiled egg. I was 6 months old. Of course, now that would never happen, but it did then. And she said, I sat in my hay chair and tightened my fist and closed my eyes and said, mm-hmm. And she said, oh, you still make the same sounds today.
What is it about, what is it about the soft-boiled egg that you like?
Oh, it's buttery and it's creamy and it's that mouth feel more than anything.
Okay,
I think.
So,
but not a soft boiled egg if it's a commercial egg.
Well, how do you do it? How do you make a soft boiled egg?
Well, I put it in cold water.
A whole egg, right?
A whole egg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't crack a soft boiled egg. I put it in cold water, and I put it.
That
in...
was like one of those things that the snobby chefs would say, like, Tom,
excuse me.
Don't take the...
Have you ever cooked before?
Can we like bring it down a little
okay.
bit here?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay, so you put the whole egg in cold water.
Uh-huh.
Salted cold water.
In the shell.
And then you bring it to boil, yes, okay. In the shell, and you boil it for 3 minutes.
Okay.
And then you take it off and run it under cold water immediately.
Okay.
My mother, on the other hand, we had 6 kids, so she boiled, 2 dozen eggs in the mornings, and and they were in a big pan, and she would pick one out with a spoon, hold it up at eye level, and she could tell if it was hard or soft by the way it dried on the outside.
Oh.
And she tried to teach me how to do that. My grandmother did it that way. I don't know how to do it. I can't do it that way. But anyway, that's another secret.
So then how do you, I'm still, seriously, I don't think I've ever, this is embarrassing to say on the air, I don't think I've ever had a soft-boiled egg. So then what do you do?
You didn't have any soft-boiled eggs with Toast Soldiers?
No, none. No, so what do you do? So you've got this egg that you've taken out. It's mm-hmm. cool. Then what?
Well, there's 2 ways to do it. My preferred way is to just clip the top of the egg off, the little pointy end.
Gotcha.
Put it in an egg cup.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's all runny and gooey. And right on the side of your plate, you have these little strips of crunchy toast. soaked in butter, and you dip that little crunch in there.
And this is your favorite egg dish.
Oh, it's my favorite egg dish. Well,
no,
I'm a purist.
No, it sounds delicious.
It is delicious. I'll have you over. We'll have okay. one of those too. We'll have an egg day at my house.
This is working out just fine. Okay. What other egg thing can you make for me?
Oh, many, many. Hey, what about egg creams that don't have any eggs in them? Oh. Isn't that a funny name for something that's eggy? Did you ever have one?
No, that's more of like an East Coast, Northeast Coast thing. I grew up in the South, and I never saw one there.
How about Scotch eggs? Have you ever had a Scotch egg?
Yeah.
Are you medium about those two?
You know, they're okay. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea is really good, but usually they're so hard and cooked. It's kind of like a geode, like you're breaking into an egg geode. And
well, now do I have to make you some of those too? Because
okay, good. I must have just had bad ones.
I think you had bad ones.
You know, I went to, I'm going to be voted off the island for this, but I went to the Burn Supper, and I was telling a friend
of
mine. I think once. And I told a friend of mine, I said, you know, If I only had an evening to live, I would go to a Burn Supper because it would seem like forever.
What, the haggis? You didn't like the haggis and the Scotch eggs?
The whole thing. It was just one of those evenings where you're not quite sure why they were celebrating this man. But anyway, as I offend a whole nation.
Did you smoke a cigar?
No. But there was a lot of whiskey drinking and a lot of obnoxious storytelling. But the Scotch eggs were there, of course. And they needed a sauce. I think, you know, they needed something. They were just sort of dry.
Like maybe they needed to be dipped in mayo.
Yeah.
That would be good. Exactly. That would be always
dipped
good.
In the blood of the enemies.
Exactly. The blood of the enemies are some hoisin.
I really love having these serious men in the studio with me talking about eggs. It's so much fun. Do either one of you have any knowledge about history and legend and lore of eggs?
Yes.
I knew you would, Chris.
The French cooking hat, it traditionally has 100 pleats for 100 ways you can make an egg. By legend.
Wait, back it up again. What now?
The pleated French chef's hat.
Oh. Is that right?
100 pleats traditionally for 100 ways you can make eggs.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
I collect hats.
Well, you know, there's lots of symbolism in the world with regard to eggs, like Aboriginal Dreamtime ceiling, you know, they paint that Dreamtime ceiling, which has everything in it. And the egg is the symbol of light. It means the coming of light. And in Christianity, early on, they were used to encourage human and agricultural fecundity.
Ooh.
Like the bride would break an egg before she went into her new home so that they could hurry up and have kids.
Oh.
And that would ensure fertility. And, okay, German farmers smeared eggs and flour on their plows so that they could have a really good crop. I'm telling you, it's true. And they also have had eggs have a reputation for having healing quantities. They can also cast curses, as you know.
Mm.
But there's something called egg rolling and passive treatment, two techniques in removing hexes with eggs. So the first one is egg rolling, and you take a raw egg and you roll it over the person's body, the person who's been cursed, and it will absorb all the negative energy, and then you open it up and it's all black inside.
Thriftway is going to have a run on eggs this week.
There have been a lot of hexes going on.
How about egging a house?
And then the other one is called passive treatment. And that's when you take a half full glass of water and say, "Dear God, let me have nothing but truth and your power," and you crack the egg into it, and then you squeeze it in your hand, and you're healed.
Wow.
So, you know, there's lots of stuff like that.
I don't think my insurance covers that, but okay.
It might.
That's
and then we have
existing condition.
Eggs and literature, like The Egg and I. Did you read The Egg and I?
Nope. Yep, I have not.
Onions in the stew?
What?
Oh, wait, there's
onions
no eggs. Yeah, that's, sorry.
It's a vegetable type egg.
Betty McDonald.
Yes.
Yeah. And I have a little bit of trivia about NASA and their eggs.
Okay. And they're Fabergé eggs.
Well, yeah, Fabergé eggs and Ukrainian eggs and Easter eggs. And, yeah.
Fish eggs.
Fish eggs. No, they don't count. Well, they do, I guess. Roe. If you want some caviar, I like caviar. Yeah.
Yummy.
Well, in the 90s, the Americans and the Russians had a different Cold War, and it was about eggs in space. And the Russians won the Cold War in eggs because they knew how to do the eggs in space better than we did. But
What do you mean? Like lay a chicken lay an egg?
Well, they had chickens trying to lay an egg, and they had quails in space, and the quails could not adjust to no gravity. So they stopped laying, which meant they would not be a good food source to have in space. So they're still trying to figure out how to have eggs in space, eggs that are not powdered.
The Russian chickens knew their family was going to go to the gulag if they did not lay eggs.
So they laid their eggs quite happily.
Oh, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking there was a Muppet skit, Eggs in Space, but it's Pigs in Space. Not eggs in space.
Yeah, eggs and green ham?
Eggs in space. Hey, okay, so here's eggs in theater. In 1909, in Snohomish, the Seattle Times reports that there was a theater there called the Alcazar Theater, and they had a huge production of some kind, and the production was so bad that people quit watching. The curtain closed after the first act, and it never opened again. But the audience was so mad, three men in the back went out and bought a bunch of eggs. And they came back. The actors were trying to sneak out the back door. And the audience chased them down the alley, pelting them with eggs. It's a true story.
Wow.
And they say there's a Seattle chill.
Well, that was Snohomish in 1909. Snohomish,
yeah. Those loggers wanted better entertainment.
They wanted better
entertainment. That was like a bad Yelp review 100 years ago. You get stoned with eggs.
Yeah, you get stoned.
Hey, so you know what else about eggs? I have a fun fact. Do you know the Last Supper, the painting?
Sure.
Well, it was used with an egg tempura. Egg tempera. And because, you know, like when you get eggs on your plates, they don't come off. It's really hard to wash an egg off. It really has a great sticky an adhesion cement property. And that was one of the reasons that it didn't last as long, because it was an experimental use of paints with egg, because egg was thought to have this great retention, which it did on plates, apparently, but not so much on frescoes or on walls.
Don't forget the monotremes.
I need to take a little break here and thank our sponsors.
I thought maybe you were going to go somewhere.
Yeah,
fill some airtime.
You are listening to Voice of Vashon 101.9 in lovely Vashon Island, Washington. Voice of Vashon would like to thank Windermere Real Estate for its support, making our community information programming and our emergency alert service possible. Find them on the web at WindermereVashon.com. I'm Linda Nygaard, and I am hosting Stirring the Pot, sitting here with Chris Austin and Tom Conway in the studio, and we're talking about all things eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where were we?
Monotremes.
You know.
Wrote it down.
You need to tell me about that.
So there are some mammals that lay eggs.
Yes, platypus.
Platypus and echidna.
Echidna.
That group is called monotremes, and they lay leathery eggs. Then they have a very rudimentary nipple from the mammary gland. It just the hair itself.
It's not every day you hear rudimentary nipple on the air.
I don't think that's one of our illegal words.
I don't think so.
It's close. You can only do it and talk about monotremes.
I'm going to start snorting here. That's a minute. We got to stop it.
That's why I wear a shirt when I swim. I have rudimentary.
Tom, tell us something else.
Okay. Yes. Let's see about eggs. You know, I think one of the things that's very, popular on Vashon is we all get chickens. In fact, right now, and there's definitely a phase. I think it'd be interesting to have like sort of a study. The UW could come over and do a study of chicken owners. And I'm currently in the phase where I've lost my mind phase, which is like a high peak. And then there's basically a crescendo down to like, I'll never raise another chicken.
Oh my
chicken.
God, I'm never going to have another chicken.
But I had like my 10 chickens, you know, and I probably spent enough to make each egg for the last 2 years worth about $6 a piece, because I had to, contain the chickens, but I wanted it to be a big area so they were happy chickens. And then I had to net it because I had hawks and eagles attacking. Oh, you just, I lost me.
Something, what happened?
I can't hear anything. Did you just pull it out?
Here.
Can you push me back? Can you put my mic?
Wait. Is that you?
I don't know.
Are you there?
I can't hear me.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. What? No?
Can we hear you? Can you hear me?
I can hear.
Can you hear?
What were you messing around with over here?
I'll just go with it.
But you can hear me on the...
But we can hear on the radio.
Okay, so where was I? God, talking about Linda. Just, Linda, keep your hands on the table and quit flailing.
She's trying to hit your microphone off.
She looks like one of those pizza... She looks like one of those pizza blow-up dolls that, you know, outside the pizza place, that, like, wave their hands, you know? That
flailing, flapping, use car man.
I do tend to gesture a lot. I know, I'm
three
sorry.
Three slices for 10.
I'll behave myself.
Okay. So anyway, the chicken thing.
The chicken thing. And so now you're tired of them?
Well, no, I love my chickens. But what happened is I kind of have too many.
Oh.
And I have them in different phases.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be swimming. I'm back again. I'm swimming.
I'm too.
Technically back. Yeah. So what's really kind of cool about them is they're really wonderful. Like having chickens is really just like having a microcosm of society. You can, whenever you're feeling bad about yourself or how you're being treated or how others are being treated, you just go to a chicken yard and you can identify it there. There's a complete and utter parallel with the ones that pick on you, the ones
I knew a chicken once named Veronica.
Uh-huh.
And she was the best
chicken.
Oh, she still is alive. Veronica's still alive, but I knew her sister named Fannie Mae. And Fannie Mae was darling. She was named Fannie Mae because she never had any tail feathers.
Oh, I thought maybe because she bought a house with a little.
That's another secret.
Okay,
but anyway, I wrote an obituary for Fannie Mae, and I wish I would have brought it with me because Fannie Mae was my friend, you know.
Well, do you know Mike the Headless Chicken?
Yes, I know Mike the Headless Chicken. I don't think it's true.
Oh, it's true. It's true. It's absolutely true.
I hate it.
Yeah.
That's okay. You know, there's something I'm looking for. I can't find it, but I took some notes. Somebody wrote a thing about how his mother made him say three Hail Marys before they fixed eggs because they never worked right.
Oh. Well, you know, okay, whatever. Now, but let's move on. I'm not. That was fascinating, Linda. That was really cool.
I can't find my notes.
I know. It's just fun watching you get flustered. Now, what I was going to mention, though, like, what are your, like, there's so many really great egg dishes out there. Like, my favorite egg dish really is creme anglaise is like the best thing.
Oh,
so it's basically an egg custard sauce.
I was gonna say custard's my favorite.
It's pretty
egg
awesome
thing, really. I mean, I
love. And then you've got meringue. Meringue's awesome.
Oh yeah,
I tend to lean on the sweeter side of things.
Yeah, I do too. I love custard.
Yep.
And all kinds of custard, you know. Mm-hmm. And then there's the difference between like a creme anglaise and a flan.
Oui.
Which is also, I guess, See. Considered custard, isn't it?
yeah.
And
is there gelatin in flan? I've never made a flan.
No. I've made flan, but not, no, I don't use gelatin.
I eat flan, but I don't make it.
Yeah.
But custard, yes.
And
pot de creme, ooh, baby.
Yeah. Do you like egg salad?
Yeah, I love eggs. Oh, yes, egg salad.
I really love egg salad too. We have a little tradition in my family with regard to egg salad. My granddaughter was born on April 2nd.
Egg salad day.
Egg salad day.
Oh, isn't it? I just made that up.
No, it isn't really. I left the hospital room and ran home and made egg salad sandwiches for everybody.
With or without relish?
I don't know why. Without.
Okay, just checking.
And now, for the last 18 years, every year on April 2nd, we have egg salad sandwiches because they were Emily's birthday present.
I love egg salad.
And beyond that, I like pickled eggs. You weren't overjoyed when I shared
Did
the pickled
it show?
Eggs with you. Yeah, it showed. You don't like pickled eggs?
You know, it's kind of like a PTSD thing. Like when I was a child, anything with beets in it, it was when I realized that my father had he wasn't his best person when he was forcing me to eat beets. And I wasn't my best person when I refused to eat the beets.
Well, I'm just going to take them home then, because if you're not going to eat them, I'm going to take them home.
Okay.
Because I know someone
will. Oh, no, don't do that.
But it was a good thought.
No, it was really thoughtful.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't want them to go to waste.
But, you know, we started to talk about eggs because it's Easter.
Oh,
and the
Easter
eggs
and
all of that with the Ukrainian eggs. And we didn't get around to that. Now we're running out of time.
I know. And the Orthodox, you know, where you each have an egg and then you hit your egg on the top of the other egg. And the one that breaks gets to keep The one who breaks it gets to keep it. So it's a way to like get eggs.
You mean I get to keep the broken egg?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. So you get two eggs. You have one broken, one not.
I do enjoy that.
So you get to eat the broken egg.
Well, Mr. Conway.
Yes, Ms. Nygaard.
Austin, it's been wonderful having you here today. I don't know if we accomplished much, but I sure had a good time.
And we didn't use any egg puns, which I just realized.
Nothing so say like, one.
This is exactly how I wanted to spend the last half hour.
Eggtastic. Yes, we did. Eggonomics. The Eggonomics Report.
Oh, that's true.
That's kind of a pun, isn't it? It's a stretch.
It's a stretch.
Whatever yeah. it is, it's yeah. bad.
Okay. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. And we'll look forward to seeing you again next week. And Tom, I'll see you in a month.
We'll see about that.
Thank you all. Goodbye.